Hey, what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing today? How's everybody doing? You guys are incredible. You guys are awesome. Has anybody told you that lately? You guys are amazing. My wife and I are so honored and excited to pastor such a generous church. You guys are so generous, and we're so blessed to be a part of this congregation, and we're so honored to pastor you. Do you know what God has done through you this past week? Do you really know the impact that all of you have made? Well, let me help you, give you a quick recap of what God has done through Transformation Church this past week. First of all, we had over 60 Transformers participate in outreaches all across the city this past week in Serve Week. We've been talking about loving our city. Each week we've been touching on every topic, different topics of who our neighbor is and how we're to serve. And TC, you showed up strong. Over 60 of you showed up, and we also had over $5,000 in monetary donations go towards outreaches. And these are some of the things we did. We were able to show appreciation to over 50 police officers in the town of Walk Hill, as well as the city of Middletown, with an appreciation luncheon this past week. Because of you, we were able to give away over 350 backpacks filled with school supplies at Summit Field Housing Development and other various places in Middletown. Because of you, we gave away over 200 grocery bags with hygiene products to those in need. Because of you, are you guys getting this? Like, are you guys, like, if you come from a quiet church, this is not a quiet church, okay? This is not like, this is make some noise church, all right? So y'all like to make some noise? Yeah? That's what I'm talking about. Let me keep going. We gave over 140 meals provided for the homeless in the city of Middletown. We paid for laundry for 25 families and two laundromats throughout in the city. We blessed 40 doctors and nurses at Garnett Medical Center to show appreciation. And then we also provided, because of you, we provided over 50 toys and bears for pediatric patients at the Garnett Medical Center. And this is 1 week. 1 week. 1 week, and this is a letter we just got. We just got this email. Please accept our deep gratitude for the support of Transformation Church. Our chief nurse, Deb Snyder, and I delivered the incredible lunch you sponsor to the emergency department staff as well as the pediatric team. We are so grateful to you and for your continued support and prayers. My work family continue to fight the fight, showing up each and every day to give it their best. Your remembrance of them during this next wave is inspiring to them. Your trays of food provided sustenance for so many through all shifts. Through each of their breaks from the care of patients, they found your blessed food in their break room. Your work continued well into the rest of the week when I was able to deliver the gift bags to the units caring for children. From the outpatient lab to same-day surgery, your gift was as welcomed by the staff as for the children. One of the greatest joys of my day is sharing expressions of gratitude to my staff. They, in turn, share it with our smallest patients. On behalf of my work family and the people we serve, thank you for your mission to bring such joy to our community. Wishing you and yours continued good health, Pam. Isn't that amazing? Give it up for yourselves. Amazing. TC, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of what God is doing through us as a church. And I'm just here to tell you today that it can no longer be church as usual. It can no longer be business as usual. God is calling us to go into this community. And actually, I'm feeling more and more led to go outside of this community and start reaching more and more people in the city of Middletown. And God is just telling us it's time to continue. We've always reached people far from God. We've always reached people in our community, but God wants us to multiply that. He wants us to reach people, to meet people where they're at. See, we just can't be a church open on Sunday. We got to be the church on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. How many are with me on that, right, church? We got to be the church. I'm excited for what we're doing right now. On Tuesday night, we've opened our church to NA meetings. On Wednesday night, we have Celebrate Recovery. We believe that the church is the hope of the world. And you know what? It's time that we stop going to church and we start being the church. How many are with me on that? Like, it's time, church. It's time. And this was God's burning in my heart. The timing is now. Now, our building is beautiful. Don't you love our building? We just redid our cafe, just in case you haven't been in there. Brand new floors, painting, beautiful. It's gorgeous. Our property is amazing. But God wants us not just to gather on Sunday. Or I should say it like this. We are the church gathered on Sunday, but we are the church scattered on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Right? 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 We're the church gathered, but this is not where we stay. Then we scatter throughout the city, and we look for needs, and we're going to fill those needs. God spoke to my heart about Love Our City back in January 2020. This is a post that I placed in my personal journal. Now, I usually use a handwritten journal, but this one I was away, and I decided to use Penzoo, which is a digital journal. I don't like to type a lot, so I just put some thoughts down. And January 1st, 2020, right? This is what I felt led from God. Happy New Year, new beginning, fresh start, 2020. This is what I felt God was leading me, 2020, to lead from what I see from within, not react to what I see externally. Who would have imagined? March 2020, boom, pandemic, right? God was preparing me. Don't lead by what you see externally. Lead by what you see internally. Don't react. Lead from the inside, not from the outside. Lord, give me eyes to see what you have planned in 2020 and beyond. That was my prayer. He gave me 2 Kings 6:17. I said, Lord, give me inner authority. Give me insight. Not to see externally, but to see internally. What is that 2020 insight? And two words came to me. Love Our City, Church Online. Love Our City, Church Online. March 2020, the pandemic hits. Guess what we're doing? Church Online. And we haven't stopped, nor are we stopping to do Church Online. We believe Church Online is such an important part of our church, reaching people outside of our community and beyond. And if you're watching and you live within driving distance of our church, come on down. We'll make you feel right at home. We'll bless you with free coffee and a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, and you'll have a great seat. And just, we have a gift. There's nothing like an in-person worship experience. So I want to invite you. And if you're watching outside of our area, we're so glad that you're part of our Church Online family. That is the vision of God, that we take our church beyond these walls. But Love Our City was part of that vision back in 2020. And I was just waiting for the timing of God. And God said, this year, now is the time. So we talked about it in the summer, in the spring, I should say, and then put the plans together in the summer. And I said, you know what? There's no better time to do it than in August. Let's do it in August, where most people are busy. It doesn't matter. The church has to continue going. And nobody wants to do outreaches in the winter when it's freezing cold. How many know that, right? So let's go out into our community in August. And this is just the beginning of many more things we're going to do. We're going to be holding Love Our City events every single month. Yeah, every single month. I love to grow them every single month. We're already planning September. I'm working with homeless people. We're going to be doing stuff October. We're going to be doing things November. We're going to be doing things December. Christmas offering this year is going to be all about Love Our City. Most of that offering is going to go to Love Our City, or at least half of it is going to go to Love Our City. We want to be a church without walls. I love when Pastor Caitlin came, the church that never sleeps, the church that reaches people, the church that loves people. I don't know how to do that exactly, but this I know. We start with what we have, and we just do what we can. And God will continue to bless us with more. So you're going to see Love Our City link on our giving page. If you feel led to give at any time to Love Our City, just give to Love Our City. We're creating the fund, Love Our City Fund. We want to bless this community. We want to bless people in need. There's nothing greater than to touch a need and find a need and fill it. And that's what we've been talking about these past several weeks here at TC in the sermon series called Love Our City. And today we're wrapping up the sermon series, Love Our City. Excuse me, let me change mics because I lost the test, one, two. The little windscreen here, you know, so it kind of ruffles. Anyway, you hear me good now? All right, so we're wrapping up the sermon series, Love Our City, week 5. And I want us to begin with this passage of scripture found in Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles or, you know, take notes, really what I want you to do from Sunday messages is I want you to listen, I want you to grasp, but throughout the week I want you to process the message throughout the week. Are you guys with me on that? Sunday's receiving, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is processing and asking God, God, what are you saying to me through this message? Luke chapter 19, I want you to go back and reread this story. It begins with Jesus entering Jericho and was passing through, just passing through. And there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. Say that name, Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. No coincidence, right? Zacchaeus was a tax collector and was wealthy because during this period of time, tax collectors were corrupt people. They would just take people's money and they would pocket a lot of it and give the rest to the government. They were known as the chief of sinners. Nobody liked tax collectors, okay? This is how it was during this particular period of time. They stayed away from them. So there's Zacchaeus. In verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He heard about Jesus coming, you know, rolling through town. And because he was short, how many have that problem, right? He was short. He could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and decided to climb a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus. He's like, you know, let me check out who this guy JC is. You know, let me just go climb this tree, get a good view to see who he was. And because Jesus was walking that way. Next verse. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, I love that. When Jesus was walking, he reached a particular spot. And who's looking up? Jesus. He looks up at this fig tree and says to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Zach, get down out of that tree right now, because today I must stay at your house. What? Are you kidding me? Jesus looks at Zacchaeus, the chief of sinners, and says, yo, Zach, come on down, because today I'm going to chill in your crib. Let me help break this down to you and for you in the 21st century. Is as if Jesus goes to a city like New York City and bumps into, let's just say, Eminem, and says, just walk in, there's Jesus walking, there's Eminem, bumps into Jesus, and Jesus is like, oh, yo, Eminem, what up? Get ready, because today I am going to your crib. That's exactly what happened. Okay, you can't quite relate to that. Let's just say Pastor Joe was chilling in New York City, right? Coming down, walking down the street, and there's Eminem. Yo, what up, Eminem? What up? Yo, you want to chill today? Sure, come to my crib. I posted on my Instagram, chilling with Eminem at his crib. What would y'all think? Yeah, our church. Wow, word. Can we come? Can we come? Word, our church? Yeah, our church would be like, yeah, right? But no, seriously, like, what? What's Pastor doing? Is he smoking? Like, is he drinking? What's he going to be doing at the party? And that's exactly what happened. So he came down and welcomed him gladly, right? And then it says, and all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of sinner. I love Jesus, always causing havoc wherever he goes. Jesus. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. How do you know when Jesus has touched your life? You know when Jesus has touched your life when he touches your wallet. Pastor, go back to Eminem's house. I will. So I will pay him back four times. And look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Today's message I've called Lost and Found. Lost and found. You ever lose something valuable that you just can't live without? Maybe it was a diamond ring. Anybody lose their wedding ring and like, where is it? Anybody engagement rings? Yeah. Still lost maybe. I don't know. You know, something in the house. I've lost something. My wallet, my keys, something. You're looking around. Where is this? And you're just going crazy looking for this. Ever happened to you? Well, it happened to me last week. Last week, my family and I packed in to a 2011 Honda Accord to bring my oldest son, Joey, back to VU College in Miami, okay? My son wanted his car this semester. He's entering his third year. He's turning 21. He has his car, so I thought it was okay, son. We'll do it this year. But we're not paying $2,000 to ship it, and you are not driving it down by yourself. How many parents are with me on that, right? All right, good. So we're going together. Oh, Dad, you want your car? Okay. We all packed in. We went down. I says, we're going to drop you off, but we're going to stay on the beach. Okay. So we'll drop you off in your dorm, and we booked a hotel on Miami Beach. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm surprised I even came back. You guys are lucky you see me today because I was envisioning TC Miami. TC Miami. Lord, are you speaking? Speak to me, Lord. Speak. It didn't rain one day. It was sunny every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So I'm sitting on the beach. No lie, I get up at 6 a.m. every morning. I sneak out of the hotel room, go down. There's a Starbucks. Grab my Starbucks at 6:15. I'm on the beach every single morning at 6:30 in the morning to watch the sunrise. Oh, my God. For a whole week, I'm watching the sunrise every single morning. It's me and Jesus. Jesus and me. I'm talking to Jesus. It's just amazing. And I'm just watching the sunrise. And after about 2 hours, no lie, 2 hours, my wife's sleeping in, my son's sleeping in. We're doing great. And I said, let me go for a nice little jog or a walk. So I leave my beach chair, my hat, my glasses there. And I did this, and I would go for a jog. It was just, like, amazing. And this one particular morning, I came back from my jog, and there was no glasses. There was no chair. There was no hat. Someone took my chair. Are you kidding me? My glasses were on the chair. I can't see without these glasses. And I began to be like, oh, God, who stole my chair? I know some, because I'm from New York. People steal things. You know what I mean? Like, if you're from New York, I mean, that's what's going to happen. They're stolen. And I thought it was the cabana boy. I went to the cabana boy. I'm like, you know, you took my $9.99 Walmart chair because I had my own $9.99 Walmart chair. I says, you took my chair. I know you took my chair. I didn't say it that way, but I'm like, did you see a chair? Nobody saw the chair. And I'm like, what do you mean nobody saw it? Nobody saw the crime that had taken place? Someone took my beach chair, my glass. I can't live without these glasses. I can't scroll through Instagram without my glasses. I can't function without my glasses. Jesus, I only see blur. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I started panicking and praying. And I just, this 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I said, oh, God, how am I going to? So I called my wife and I said, hey, Siri, I can't see the numbers. Siri, call Ruth. And I call Ruth and I said, honey, wake up. Oh, my God, my glasses are gone. And I'm going crazy. She goes, what? Are you kidding me? Someone, I don't know. I don't think they're stolen, but I don't know what happened. So she hung up and we were trying to figure out. And I said, you know what? I went to John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Yeah. I graduated from Orange County Community College with a police science degree. Right. And I took forensics. So I'm like, okay, nobody knows where my chair is. I'm going to figure this out. So I says, don't, this is a true story. Don't mess with the crime scene. Just, you gotta got a crime scene. So I look, and I'm just trying to see, because if I see footprints, I know it's going to go to the Cabana Boys little spot there. So I'm looking, and I had to look close. There's a lot of footprints, but then I see truck tracks. I said, oh, wow. There was a vehicle involved. So I see the truck tracks. The truck tracks went like this. It came around, circled around, picked up the chair, came back around, and went around the beach like this. Camera follow me. And then it went to the back of the beach, and I just did the whole walk. I did the whole walk, and it started going to North Beach. So I'm like, it was a pickup truck. It was a truck. So I start walking North Beach, and then it hit me. Every morning, Miami-Dade Beach send a cleanup crew to clean up the beach from the previous night's parties or whatever they were having. And I called my wife. I said, honey, I think I know what it was. Miami-Dade did cleanup crews. I remember they came around one time, one morning. I saw them picking up trash. I think they grabbed my tissue. She goes, all right, I'll call. So she calls, and then she calls me back, and she says, yeah. I call a bunch of places. I finally got to a place, and they said there's no way they can contact the drivers. I'm like, they're lying. I know they're lying. They think I need my glasses, honey. Find them. Where are they going to bring it? She says, the only place they bring them is the Miami dump. You're going to have to go through the dump. I said, no, Jesus, I can't go through the dump. What is going to happen? So she hung up, and I just lost all hope at that moment. And I said, Lord, I started speaking in another language, heavenly language, Jesus, praying in the spirit, bring back these glasses, and it didn't work. So I just lost all hope, and it was about an hour and a half later, I had my wife call Cohen's. It's just called Cohen's. Nobody's open. Someone's got to make me glasses. And just when I was going back to the hotel from afar, it was fuzzy, I see a little four-wheeler, and it looked green. And I said, could that be like part of their crew? And there's the green four-wheeler, and there's me. And I start running, and I catch the four-wheeler. Thank God. I said, sir, do you work for Miami-Dade? He goes, yes. Do you do the cleanup? Yes. Can you find out if somebody picked up my chair with my glasses? He says, sure, hold on. He picks up his phone, calls somebody. Yeah, do you have a chair? He goes, yeah, we picked it up early this morning. They're my glasses. They found my glasses. They found my chair. I couldn't believe it. I just got these glasses, or I should say the lenses. I just got the lenses. And I could have kissed the woman. She was in her 60s. Don't worry about that. But, I mean, I just was like, oh, thank you so much. My glasses were lost, and now they are found. Thank you, Jesus. And then she began to tell me how I should not leave stuff out, how I should put things away. And I said, okay, thank you, ma'am. Just keep moving long before I, who would take a chair with a hat and glasses knowing that there's a beach? Anyway, let's keep going. So I just said, thank you so much. And I began to think, if I was that passionate about losing $200-$300 pair of glasses, how passionate do you think Jesus is when it comes to finding lost souls? People, come on, people. How passionate do you think God is when it comes to seeking and finding lost, not glasses, lost people? And I'm here to tell you today that God came into this world with one mission, and that mission was to seek and to save the lost. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been a time in your life when you are lost? When you didn't know where you were going? Remember back in the day when there were maps? Not Google Maps. I mean like map, paper maps. Remember the time when there were paper maps? All your older folks, young people don't know that. But you had to write down the directions. Remember, you used to write down the directions at the intersection
at the bodega, make a right, right? And go down, you'll see a red pole. Make a left on that pole and then go down to this yellow house. Remember back in the day, and you don't see the pole, you don't see the house, you don't see anything, you're just lost. Remember how it feels to be lost until the invention of Waze? Amen for Waze. Praise God for Waze. I love Waze. Waze is amazing. My girl's Amy. Amy is just, change her voice. She's so respectful. She doesn't talk back to you. Don't you, don't you love Waze? They're just calm, easygoing. You missed the turn. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. Just go to the next right. Go to the next street and make a right. Can you imagine if Waze was a Latina from the Bronx? Can you imagine that? Like, mira, papi, I told you to make a right. If you're going to keep going your own way, then you better find another ways to tell you where to go, because I'm not going to keep telling you to make a right, all right? You know what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. Thank God it's not Maria from the Bronx. It's Amy. I love Amy. Calm, cool. Tells me where to go. But I do remember the times when I didn't have Amy and I was lost. Remember how it feels to be lost? Remember how it felt to be lost, not physically while you're driving? Remember how it felt when you were lost spiritually? Remember that time in your life where you had no direction, no purpose, no meaning, and maybe you're there right now today. You're searching for something greater in life, and you just don't know what the meaning of life is. You just don't know what the purpose of life is. You're going through life, and you're trying to find direction in life, and you just seems like there's got to be more to life. Remember how it felt to be lost? But also, do you remember how it felt when you were found? Right? Remember how you felt when you were found? Remember how you felt when you were lost and you finally got the right directions to get to the place and you finally arrived at the destination that you were hoping to get to? But do you also remember the day that Jesus found you and rescued you and healed you and saved you and forgave you and set you free? Do you remember that day when Jesus came into your life and transformed your life and turned your world upside down, and he gave you sight to see, eyes to see, he gave you ears to hear, and life took on meaning, life took on purpose. You had a new peace, you had a new joy, you had a new happiness. Do you remember? Do you remember when you were found? You see, the reality is this: we are all born lost in a lost world. All of us are born lost in a lost world. And this is the thing about being lost. Often, more often than not, people who are lost don't realize they're lost. My biggest fear when it comes to GPS, and now I follow my GPS faithfully. When she says, make a right, I make a right. I don't want her to yell at me, right? Make a right, make a right. But my biggest fear is I put the wrong address in. Have you ever done that? Like, you put the wrong address in, you get to the destination, and it wasn't the right place. That's happened to me a lot. You're driving, you're lost, but you don't realize you're lost. And there are many people who are driving through life today who are lost and don't realize they're lost. Because that's the deception of being lost. You don't realize you're lost. You don't realize you're drifting farther and farther from your God-given destiny. You don't realize you're drifting farther and farther from God's purposes from your life. You don't realize you're just fading away from the purposes of God, from the plans of God. That's what happens when you're lost. But you know what's worse than being lost and not realizing you're lost? What's worse than being lost and not realizing you're lost is being lost when nobody is looking for you. Lost in a place you've never been at in your life, and no one's looking for you. It's like when people disappear and people stop looking for those people, what's worse is being lost and people have stopped looking for you. We're all born lost in this lost world, but this is the beauty about our Savior. Jesus knows we're lost. And his mission is simple. He came to seek and to save the lost. You see, you might be lost. You might be drifting farther and farther away from God, but I came to tell you today that God has been looking for you. God has been seeking you. God is looking to find you. God's mission in life is to find you and to give you a purpose in life, to give you meaning in life, to put you on his your divine destiny, to get you on the pathway that he has prepared for you. You see, God doesn't, we don't find God. God finds us. This is only true when it comes to Jesus and Christianity. Every other religion in the world tells you that you have to find that God. But when it comes to our God, our Savior, he says, no, you don't have to find me. I will find you because I have come to seek and to save you. I have come to find you. See, many of you have been looking for God, but I came to tell you today, God has been looking for you. And this is what happened with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had this desire. There's something missing in his life. He was wealthy. He had money. He had power. He had position. But there was this curiosity within him that his longing in his soul, that he was like, man, there's got to be more to it than this. Who is this man, Jesus? But when Jesus reaches the spot, Jesus looks up. Why? Before the foundation of the world, God knew him. God set Zacchaeus apart. God knew who he was, where he was at, because Jesus was on a mission, and that mission was to find Jesus. Jesus looks up and says to him, Zacchaeus, I love it. He calls him by his name. He's never met him before. He doesn't know him, yet he calls him by his name. Zacchaeus. I've been looking for you. I've been searching for you. You see this, I'm not just passing through this town. You see this moment in time, this is a divine appointment. This is a divine moment in which I am coming to you and I am finding you. And I have been searching for you, Zacchaeus. And I've been looking for you, Zacchaeus. And today, Zacchaeus, is the day for your salvation. And I love the fact that Zacchaeus, in this story, Jesus says, he looked up, he calls him Zacchaeus, and Jesus says, come down from that tree immediately. Come down, Zacchaeus. And that, wouldn't know what that means to me? See, Zacchaeus was climbing this tree. He was exerting effort to find God. And so many of us think that we have to earn God's love. We have to earn God's favor. We have to exert effort to find God. And Jesus is saying, Zacchaeus, stop climbing trees. Stop trying to find me. I have found you. You see, Zacchaeus, you don't need to climb this tree to find me because I'm about to climb a tree to find you. See, when it comes to Jesus, we don't need to climb trees to find Jesus. Jesus has already climbed a tree to find us. And that tree is the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the cross. Jesus went up to the cross. You don't have to climb trees. You don't have to climb crosses. Jesus says, get down from that cross. Get down from that tree. Stop trying to do life your way. Stop trying to achieve success in life. Stop trying to find purpose and meaning in life. I've been looking for you, Zacchaeus. I've been looking for you. And today, I have found you. Today, Zacchaeus, salvation will come to your house. And God is saying to all of us here today, in person and online, I've been looking for you. I know you've drifted far from me. You don't even realize you're lost. But this moment is a divine moment. This moment is a Zacchaeus moment. You've been trying to climb trees to find God, but God is saying to us, I have already climbed a tree to find you because I love you. I have a plan for your life. See, I love this story in Luke chapter 15, verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. In the New Testament, sheep represent people, and the shepherd represents God. He's our good shepherd. And he says this, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the what? Lost sheep until he finds it? This is our God. God is after you. God wants a relationship with you. And if you've been found by Jesus, or maybe you have a son or a daughter or a child who is far from God, don't worry. God has been seeking them. God has been looking for them. God is after them. God will go places you can never go. God will do things you can never do. The Holy Spirit of God will go right into their bedroom. He'll go right into their living room. He'll go right into their car. He'll go right where he needs to go. Wherever he needs to go, the Holy Spirit of Jesus is seeking to save the lost. And that is the work of Christ today. He's seeking and saving the lost. And it says here, doesn't he leave the 99 to go after the one? I love this. Until he finds it. You know that moment that I found these glasses? I could tell you, it was like amazing. It's like I won the lottery. I was in a hugger. I was going to give her a kiss. I was going to kiss you. You're so amazing. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you. Can you imagine the joy that God experiences when one of his children who are lost become found? Can you imagine that moment when Zacchaeus gave his life to God and welcomed Jesus? Can you imagine? Well, we can get a picture of what happens when someone who is lost is now found. And Jesus says in this story in verse 5, he says, and when he finds the sheep, he joyfully, listen to this, puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Isn't that beautiful? A beautiful image of what Jesus does. He goes after us. He rescues us. He saves us. He picks us up, puts us on his shoulder, and brings us home. Today, Jesus wants to bring you home, church. Today, Jesus wants to bring so many of you home, so many of you that have been far from him. He wants to bring you home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, let's have a party. I love it. Jesus parties. Isn't that awesome? He says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. And verse 7, I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. There is more joy to one person that repents than 99 who do not repent. That is our Savior, Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is looking for you. Jesus is looking for people. The work of God is moving forward. First of all, God wants us to partner with his work. For those of us that have been found, he wants us to partner with him to seek and save the lost. He wants us to tell people about his great love. He wants us to partner with him because God uses us to seek and save lost people. He does. That requires us to be more passionate about the things of God, the mission of God, than our own personal mission. It requires us to put our passions aside. And I don't know about you, I've been guilty of being more passionate about my sports team than I am seeking and saving lost people. But God is calling this church to be a seeker church. God is calling this church to be a church that seeks, that looks, that is open-hearted and open-minded enough that recognizes that the people that cross your path are there because of a divine appointment. People just don't cross our paths. They're there because God placed them in our path. Come on, somebody. They're there because God has a purpose for that person. I'll end with this. The week before we were preparing to bring our son to Miami, I got a letter in the mail saying that you had jury duty. I had jury duty. And I said, you know what? I could cancel this, but then I have to go back later. They never choose me anyway. I'm a pastor. They don't really choose pastors, you know? So I got there. I said, let me just do my due diligence. I got there Monday morning, 2 hours, fill out the application, you know, the questionnaire. Yada, yada. I put pastor, church, transformation church, minister, whatever. So I finished taking it, and they start talking and having discussions. And then they said, okay, we've made our final decisions. With these people, please stand. They call my name. I stand. I'm like, great, I'm being dismissed. They look, you've been chosen for jury duty. I'm like, this has got to be a joke. Do you know how much work I have to do? I'm supposed to meet with the staff tomorrow. I'm preparing them for while I'm away and for the next 10 days. And we've got to love our city. We got so many stuff going on. Plus, I got to go get some stuff for my son. I got to pack the car. We got to pack, do all these things. I says, ain't nobody got time for this. This has got to be a mistake. I mean, I'm all for serving my is it country? No, my state, right? I'm all for serving my, doing my duty, but not the week that I'm supposed to go away. And I said, God, you must be playing a joke on me. So it was the most, I can't even explain it. I'll just give you a picture. I'm sitting in this courtroom with no air conditioning. It was hard pews, like pews, hard wood. My back is spasming, And I have to watch these video testimonies of doctors for 90 minutes. I get through the first one. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. The only worst thing than that is putting needles in my eyes. That was like the worst thing. Next thing, no, we've got a second testimony. You got to be kidding. We've got a third testimony. I'm there for days in this courtroom flipping out. I'm like, God, is this a joke? Like every day I call my wife. This can't be happening. So the final day, I just got to do this. At the end, okay, we're ready to deliberate. I says, okay, let's get this thing over. But we're going to choose two people that are not going to actually deliberate. They're going to be alternates. Okay. So they don't actually, they're alternates just in case someone gets sick on the jury, and that alternate could step in and make the decision. Y'all understand that, right? Okay. Mr. Joseph Naivis? Okay. You mean I sat this whole time on this joint and I don't even get a chance to deliberate? What? It's a true story. I said, this got to be a joke. This got to be a joke. So, and then they mentioned another person's name. Okay, so you two go to the back room and the rest of us will deliberate for several hours. What do we do? Nothing. We just sit there. What? I've never talked to the jurors. We can't talk to each other. We can't even have our phones. I don't even know what's going on. And I'm like, okay, so there I am in this courtroom, this room that seats 12, and it's just me and this young lady. Mask on. Hi. Hi. So I guess we got lucky. What do we do? I don't know. I guess we just sit here. Okay. So that was interesting. Yeah, that was. I know what I would have decided. Yeah, me too. Okay. So what do you do? Oh, me? Yeah, me? Yeah, me? Well, oh, I work with people. I'm in the people business, I tell her. She goes, what do you mean? All right, I'm a pastor. All right, here we go. I'm a pastor. Get ready. You know, she goes, oh, wow, really? Tell me more. Yeah, I just pastor church. We're in Middletown. Oh, okay. And, man, I've been looking for something. Really? Yeah. My sister was involved with a murder-suicide a couple years ago. Her boyfriend killed her, then killed himself. Haven't been able to get over that. My mom really needs something. She hasn't been able to function for 2 years. I feel like I've been cursed. I says, well, you haven't been cursed. Because God has a plan. And God has a purpose for your life. You are not here by accident. I just came to tell you that no matter what you're going through, Jesus loves you. God loves you. And you could be the one that breaks whatever curse you feel in your house. I just feel like we're cursed. Our whole family's cursed. Everything falls apart. All of this happens. And I says, just invite Jesus into your life. And that could be the change that you and your family need. And for that whole hour, we began talking. I began sharing the love of God, been guiding her to our church. She's asking questions about church, asking questions about life. And then it finally dawned on me. God chose me and interrupted my plans for jury duty and placed his hand on that box because the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He was willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. Every soul matters to Jesus. And on that day, he wanted this young lady to know that God loved her and God had a plan for her. And what are the odds that she would be in a back room with a pastor at a courtroom? But that was a Zacchaeus moment in which God ordained this. And I'm here to tell you today, God is orchestrating divine Zacchaeus moments all throughout our lives, all throughout your life. And I'm asking you just to open your eyes and see, because the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. People all around us need hope, need Christ. Will you be able to be the one to see the need and fill it? Will you be the one that just shares the love of Jesus? We ended that session after a few hours. They came in, all right, we're done. They gave the verdict. She shook my hand and said, thank you so much. I will never see her again. But I believe I may see her again in heaven, right? And I believe that moment will change her life. Change her life. I'm asking you, TC, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be more open to these Zacchaeus moments in your life, these divine connections, because God wants to use you to seek and save the lost. As I close, maybe you're here today and you are far from God. You are just searching for something. Well, I came to tell you today, today is your day. Jesus is calling your name. He wants you to give him your life. Would you bow your head with me if you're here today and want to give Jesus your life and say, Jesus, I want to surrender my life to you. Would you lift up your hand right where you're at? Say, that's me, Pastor. Come on. His hands all over today. Yes. Say, that's me, Pastor. Today is an amazing day for you. Today, Jesus is going to throw a party in heaven for you, because today is the day of salvation for you. Jesus has been looking for you. You may have thought that you were looking for Jesus, but I came to tell you today that Jesus was looking for you. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for every person that's here today. It's lifted up their hands to receive you as their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that today salvation has come to their home. Today salvation has come to their lives. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being together today. May your blessing be upon everybody watching online, Lord, wherever they might be, giving you their life, Lord. Today is the day of salvation for them, Jesus. And Lord, for the rest of us, give us a greater passion for your purpose, a greater passion to seek and save lost people, Lord, much greater than any other passion we have. Thank you for using this church. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we're going to give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, everyone together says, amen and amen. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much. Before you go, if you raise your hand to follow Jesus, there's a host team member at that table. They have a gift from us to use, a Bible. And on the inside, there's a booklet called Now What? It's for you. It'll help you get on your journey to follow Jesus. If you're online, you can fill out the form. We'll mail it to you. We appreciate that. Also, if you're a guest and have a connection card, bring it to Welcome Center. We have a gift for you there, too. First-time guests can get a gift bag. We love you. We're so glad you're here. If you have an offering, physical offering, bring it and drop it in the boxes in the back. And last but not least, if you need prayer, you're like, today, Pastor, I really need some prayer, come forward. We have prayer team members here ready to pray for you. Did you have a great day? Are you glad you came to church? So glad you came. God bless you. On the way out, we have a treat for everybody. Enjoy. God bless you.